It's episode 71 of Eurobash, and we've had a very, very busy, busy week with the Bellator Dublin show going down. We're pretty exhausted. We went there yesterday and we blew off some steam, didn't we, Niall? And today we're a bit worse for wear, lads.
We did. We blew off a bit of steam watching that shite.
Yeah, the rugby was on yesterday, Ireland v England. We'll get to that at the end. But it was one of those weeks where you needed to unwind a bit,
let's say. You have to, man. Like, those weeks, they drive you fucking mad, those 5 weeks. Just constantly on the go, constantly on your feet, constantly talking shite.
That pertains to me more than most.
It is, yeah. But they're always fun, man. I love them. It was great to see everyone in flying form as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a long L day of fights. We will get to the talking points from Bellator Dublin in a few minutes. But first, let's have a look at the headlines for this week. Valentina Shevchenko will take on Joanne Calderwood. They're going to meet at UFC 251 on June 6th. Alexander Rakic has signed a new deal with the UFC coming off that loss to Volkan Ozdemir. Jack Hermanson will be back in action against Chris Weidman in Oklahoma on May 2nd. I really like that fight. Eric Spicely beat Roman Kopylov, one of my prospects to watch in 2019, goes down on March 28th. I heard Kopylov was injured ahead of his debut. He obviously lost that. That was a big shock to me, so interesting to see him in there against Spicely. Eric Anders is going to take on Christoph Jocko on April 11th.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy. Gallagher v. Eleanor has been rebooked for the Bellator London main event in May. James Haskell will also make his debut on that same card, the English rugby legend. Ross Houston has also penned a deal with Bellator. Paddy Pimblett has got a new opponent for Cage Warriors London. He now takes on David Martinez. Donovan Desme has had to withdraw from that fight. That's the third time Donovan and Pimblett has fallen out. Morgan Charrier will take on Darko Banovic for the interim welterweight title at that London event in March. And Aries continued to sign UFC veterans, Wilson Hayes signing on the dotted line for the Afro-European promotion now. That was a lot of headlines. I feel like I did a good job keeping myself on top of the news there.
You did, especially with the day that's in it as well, being a Monday.
Yeah, horrific.
It is, yeah. It's after a tough week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Chris Weidman Hermanson fight. Really looking forward to that one.
And we got Shevchenko and Calderwood, which what we were calling for. Well, I mean, Shevchenko made it pretty clear on this show that she was going to fight Calderwood. I mean, when we asked her about the three names, she just went in on Calderwood. Yeah. Not went in on her, very respectful, of course, but it seemed pretty obvious from there. Gallagher and Eleanor rebooked for May as well.
Yeah, it's great to see it's happening. Very impressed with that fight. I think we were obviously, you know, it was a bit of a knock-on effect for last week.
Yes, absolutely. We'll talk about that later as well. Yeah.
Huge fight on a really good card as well. Like, there seems to be adding some big names to that, including James Haskell, as you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Will we have a chat about Bellator Dublin? There's a lot to unpack because there were 75 fights on the card, but
60.
Yeah, let's have a look. Big win for Leah McCord in the main event. She was put center stage in the absence of Gallagher and Eleanor. She revealed to us afterwards the orbital injury she suffered in the lead up to the fight. I actually didn't know she injured her orbital. I just thought she had a black eye. That was the question I asked her.
I just didn't even take it. I took it with a pinch of salt. I just thought it was a sparring.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was a big deal. Obviously, the weight cut then as well, what she was saying, cutting her hair off and stuff. Like, I mean, she went fucking ham to get that scales right, and fair play to her. We were talking about the emotion that she showed when she weighed in. And then, of course, did you see the video she puts out today of Molly McCann lifting her spirits?
Molly's great, isn't she?
Come on, man. She's gold.
She's great crack. She was banting with everyone last week around the place, full of life, full of energy, really good crack. And
she looks really trim now, doesn't she, all the time?
She does.
She looks ripped.
I think she's done that. I think she's obviously looking off.
Professional athlete, you know?
Looking out what she eats for and stuff like that now. And, you know, she's obviously doesn't have to work full-time anymore either. So, it's a big plus. I think a lot of fighters are like that, which is it's great to see.
I think Molly really helped Leah in the push for this as well because, you know, as I said, we did some interviews with Molly ahead of this fight, of course, and with Leah. And the fact that Molly had been in this situation with Cage Warriors before, I think that would have really allowed her to, like, ease her mind, you know, as in, like...
She's a calming influence almost on Leah. And you see that, you know, Leah's always reaching out to her for advice. We see that on social media a lot. She talks about... You know, did she even say it on Eurobash that she spoke to Molly about even headlining, as you're saying there? And, you know, it is. It's when you've someone like that as sort of a mentor-like figure, it's very calming and reassuring. And obviously lots of fighters are like that in the gym, you know. Obviously with your coach as well. It's that sort of relationship. It's almost like a life coach in many sort of ways.
Absolutely. Now,
like me to Jose Young's.
Very good. Very well done. Leah, of course, was involved in that main card. And, you know, we've got to address the criticism the main card got. After so many people saying, this fight should be on, this fight should be on. Look, it's Bellator who put those fights on. It's Bellator who will have to take the rap for that. I mean, from Chalmers against Clem, maybe a less explosive fight from Charlie Ward, but he was very happy with that performance. I think that was probably the best fight out of that main card, the three-fight main card in Bellator Dublin.
Easily.
And then, of course, Leah in the main event. What do you think of the complaints? Are they well-founded?
Yeah. Like, just look at the fights alone. You know, I think we even said it, especially the Austin Clem and Aaron Chalmers fight, like, there wasn't an awful lot going on. And, you know, maybe the referee at times could have stood them up. There didn't seem to be a lot of activity. He let it roll. And I know sometimes we criticise referees for standing up, but I think this was a case where, you know, there wasn't a lot of activity from Clem when he was on top of Chalmers. They just weren't fights that really got, I think, the pulse racing even before they were announced, if we're honest about it. Mm. And I think we saw that in fight night. You know, it didn't really come through. And, we mentioned it, and we're probably justified in mentioning what we said about Paul Redmond and Georgie Karakian. That fight really delivered, you know, really close first round. Karakian got the finish, and obviously as well, and the side story to that was absolutely fascinating. His wife was actually giving birth while he was in the cage, which was absolutely insane. But they're the fights that should have been positioned higher up, and I think we were justified in what we said in the build-up, because, listen, they were pretty stale fights.
Yeah, and look, like, the thing about Redmond is him and Crosby, without a doubt for me, got the biggest ovations of the night. Maybe Leah in the main event here, when she was coming out, there was big fanfare, but the arena wasn't as full as it was. Yeah. When Kiefer and Redmond were in there, look, they're both North Dublin lads.
Yeah. Massive reception Kiefer got, man.
Yeah, he did. He got a huge look. Absolutely huge. And Redmond did as well. Look, it didn't go Paul's way. You know, that was a very high stakes fight against a guy who's been in there with the very best in the world. And look, I thought Redzer's hands looked really good early on.
Really good in the first round.
I feel like, you know, Georgie landed a great shot before he locked up that guillotine. And I don't think that guillotine submits Paul Redmond if he's in his full faculties. I think that punch probably obscured it a bit.
Him off.
Look, he's one of the best fighters in Ireland.
Easily.
And he's in there fighting the best guys in the world. I don't know what else you have to do to get in a good place on the card. But look, we've been banging our heads off a wall about that for a long time. Another storyline that emerged, and you were all over it, in fairness, Ricky Bandeyas, Brian Moore, and we're going to hear from Brian later, and Patchy Mix all involved there. I feel like, I love Patchy Mix. I think he's incredible. But if I'm Bellator, I'm going Bandeyas more all fucking day, man.
Yeah, yeah, you have to. I think with just, even, you know, Brian came over, lovely guy.
He is the nicest man. He's a great lad.
How could you fight that guy? Like,
Of a thing for him, I'm not going to lie.
But he is. He's an absolute gentleman. Brian's a bloody legend in my eyes. Loved the guy. Came over, big hug, said hello. I didn't realise until he'd said it to me. So I was checking Twitter, saw what was going on. Patchy Mix said he would love to throw down against him. Then obviously he was saying about, you know, Ricky Bandejas, you called him out. And yeah, like, in terms of a marketing sense and a marketing point of view, it's a fucking no-brainer.
What do we keep saying?
Ricky Bandejas, they need a marketing plan.
They need some stories. Yes. That generates them there. And look, we talked to more about this later on. Now, Moore is very complimentary of Bellator. I think
you should
very
put
happy
Bandejas in against every fucking SPG fighter they can. Because it puts fucking eye. People are genuinely fucking interested to see this shit.
And like, Bandejas is buzzing off it backstage. You can feel the questions about SPG. He was loving answering all
and
that
stuff. And I think we have to address that as well in terms of the marketing thing we were saying. Because we spoke to fighters last week and Chris Bungard said it straight to me in the interview. You can go fucking check it. Bellator aren't doing a good enough job of marketing their fighters or creating these narratives. So,
We'll wait till we hear from Moore later on. Try and tell me after you listen to Brian Moore later on that you don't want that fight. But also,
Tell him.
I felt like, I love the fact that Kiefer comes out and calls out Soren back.
Yeah,
I was like, this is exactly what we've been waiting for, man.
He just had a kid. I thought he'd be chilled out. Do you know what I mean? He was going mental. I've never seen Kiefer that angry.
I love the way he buzzes. Like, he goes out.
He fucking scared me. I had to leave after the question. I just turn off my camera. I'm fucking out of here in case he fucking jumps at me. But
he did it to me last time as well. I just think he's full of adrenaline after being in there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I mean, even though it was like maybe 2 hours after the fight, we got to talk to him.
Need to go have a shower and stuff.
Yeah, but look, could you imagine that week?
Yeah. Put him on with James's undercard or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they always seem to buzz off each other as well in fight week. And that's, you know, when you see that, I think it's a no-brainer for the promotion to do it. And obviously the lads in the gym. But listen, massively looking forward, as I said, to Cal and James again. I just can't wait to see that fight. I think we're I think we even want it more now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, you cut me off there. Sorry, when I was initially talking about that, which are satanic rant. But when that was first booked, like, people didn't know who Cal is. And now everybody knows who Cal is. Like, Cal is a guy, and you can feel the UK fans getting behind him. Even he says that the Irish fans are even behind him based on what he heard this week. We heard James talking about it last week. So I think this is really, really getting people into it. And I can't wait for it. But what about Will Fleury? Great performance. And then he comes back out. Anyone who want to fight Will? This fella is going out and calling out the hardest fights there. Who does he call out? Fabian Edwards. I'm mad nobody wants to go near at the moment. Brilliant. I've got nothing but respect for that.
Yeah, I think you said it to him. You know, he's a guy that doesn't ever back down or back away from fighting. He's always took on the best guys available to him. And, you know, fair folks to him. Really like Will. Good dude.
And great, great performance from him, really, I thought, good as well. Like, I was really impressed with the opening sequence against Moore. He dropped him. I thought it was a right hand. He told me in the post fight it was actually a left. It was very quick hands there in that opening exchange. Mm. And Moore nearly cascaded forward. And I felt from there on he was constantly chasing it. But another little storyline that broke off backstage is Dylan Logan. He had a great fight on the night, but he actually he was trying to make his next contest. He came away with a loss, great grappling match. Jesus, it slips my mind who he's actually fighting now. Jesus, let me find it. Callum Murray from Scotland. Great ground battle there. But after the fight, Dylan's backstage making fun. I think it was Harry Hardwick or someone. He ended up getting, he ended up kind of teasing out that fight. And then he goes to the matchmaker. Like, I mean, what more do you want from a fighter? I really like Dylan, actually. He's a great lad. But also just want to say a big thanks to the PHA guys for getting us through the week. We know these people a long time from the UFC days and stuff. So great to see Dan Apostolos. I said it right this time, Dan. Your second name is not Apostolos. That is my fault. I'm very sorry. Katie Matthews, Dan Funston, and of course Bellator's Ryan Garab for getting us all those great media access.
I called Ryan Dan by accident.
Yeah.
I don't think you like that, but no. They're all great skins.
They are.
Big shout out, yeah.
Now, are you ready for this?
Go.
We only snared the biggest interview in MMA while we were there with Mr.
Oh, yeah.
Hoyce Gracie.
The legend.
This interview is an astonishing 90 seconds long, but we couldn't just do this and not have him on Eurobash. We just want to have that in the title there. Look, he actually would have stayed longer, but Kiefer's voice was starting and he got really excited. He was like, oh, I gotta go. He just ran away basically. So Kiefer Crosby would be happy to hear that. We got a very brief word with him, but it is cool to hear Hoyce bigging up the Irish, bigging up James Gallagher. And I'm sorry I didn't get longer, but I was waiting behind some lads and Jesus Christ, they're asking what his favourite cheese was, I think, for fuck's sake. Yeah, so look, great to speak to the legendary Hoyce Gracie, a man who seems to love Ireland, like love being here, and he's constantly buzzing around with the Bellator staff and stuff. It seems like he really enjoys being a part of the promotion.
Did he not come here for a seminar with you?
No comment. Let's hear from the great Hoyce Gracie, the winner of all those early UFC events in his kimono. What a legendary man, and great to speak to him. I think he really likes me. It's an honor to be joined by the great Hoyce Gracie. Hoyce, every time I see you here, you always rave about the fantastic fans. Can you tell me what it's like for you to come here and see the fan base in Ireland? How does it make you feel?
Man, if it wasn't for the cold weather, this would be an awesome place, man.
I agree.
The crowd, the food, everybody, man. Everything's good, man.
You know, very early in his career, James Gallagher told me that you had a conversation with him that made him feel completely comfortable being here, being Bellator. And of course, he's gone on to be this huge star. How impressed are you with James?
He got a lot of talent. He got discipline, too. You see, so it's not just being a talent fighter, but you have to have discipline to get up and do what you gotta do.
You know, he got injured for this event. Have you been able to talk to him? I know he's floating around the event today. Have you seen him at all?
We talk a little bit about it, yes, but it's okay. It's not. Hey, I understand. You get hurt, you get hurt. There's nothing you can do about it.
He's so young, Hoyce. Do you ever see James being a world champion? Like, do you think a Bellator world title is in his future?
Everyone have a chance. It's just to be the world champion. You just got to have the right mind in place.
When you're here at these events, final question, when you're here at these events, do you ever want to get back in the cage yourself and compete?
No, I'm too old for this, man. Come on.
You look fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, of course, what an epic interview there with Royce Gracie. Then the best 90 seconds of Eurobash ever.
The best 90 seconds of your life, Pete.
Yeah, Kiefer, we could have got at least 4 minutes out of him if Eurofoy hadn't started. But let's talk about Kiefer Foy, because it seemed like a lot of people on Press Row were scoring it for Tado. I didn't get to watch the whole lot of it. Like, I felt like it was a very exciting fight, though, because everybody was in there. It felt like the crowd were really involved, and the lads were lettering each other. Like, I mean,
some of those kicks Furtado was trying were unbelievable. Inside leg kicks and kicks to the body, man. There was serious toad off them.
Absolutely. Like, people seemed to be surprised by the decision. So I kind of went and I spoke to some judges. I spoke to Ben Cartledge on the night as well, and he was like, look, I think he had it for Furtado, but he was like, a 29-28 for Kiefer isn't out of the question at all there. You know what I mean? It's he had a late rally in the third round, and the crowd were really surging behind him. So I don't think it was a robbery by any stretch, but I certainly felt like a lot of people were scoring it.
I had a 29-28 for Furtado as well. I thought, you know, those kicks did a lot of damage, seemed to be more active in the front foot. I can understand, you know, if Ben's saying it, I wouldn't mind watching it back. I haven't had the chance to watch it back.
I don't want to comment on this because I was popping my head up. Yeah. I was trying to edit videos during the thing.
You know, we're always up and down all over the place on fight night. But, I did. Watching it, I was going, I generally thought Kiefer had lost the fight.
I didn't have a clue, to be honest. I'm sure I was backstage and all when they called out the result. But Smullen as well, was, you know, he lost a split decision there. And I was saying this to Ben, kind of like, I think when you for the criteria, I think even though Richie was probably dominating on the ground an awful lot, I feel like they want you to add a lot more strikes. Like, they want you to use that dominant position to get to nail down that score in the round. I'd have to have a look at Richie's fight. I was running around like a blue arse fly, but what about, we forgot to mention this, Charlie Ward's backstage interview after his win.
Savage.
Like, it's interesting, right? Because I was talking to Kieran Davern, and he's like, this is the first time Charlie's ever been trained actually properly. Like, and you could see that he wasn't tired in the third round.
He wasn't tired when he came out to us.
No, he did a lot of grappling as well in that fight. Usually he's obviously known for his punching power, but I don't know why he doesn't put himself in the front of the cameras more, man. He is magic.
Oh, it was golden.
I've been fighting lads in fields. I'm a real fighter. That's the difference.
Yeah, they're not real fighters.
I shouldn't have said that about 50 Cent. You're a legend, Charlie.
He was brilliant. Absolutely golden.
I literally walked up to him afterwards. I said, please do more interviews, Charlie. You light up my day when you get in front of the cameras at these things.
He's deadly. He is. He's you know, he's excellent. And I think it's good for Charlie as well that he was tested out in other areas, you know, for going forward, that he was on his arse a bit in the fight as well. And he's just a great guy. He's a very marketable guy. And I just don't think is he arsed doing them? I don't know whether he's arsed or he's a bit shy or what.
I don't know. I just think he probably thinks it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's like trying to break a wild horse out there interviewing Charlie Ward sometimes. So it's amazing when it happens. I just hope he keeps doing it for us.
It's a rare treat, but I think...
It's a rare treat.
Yeah,
indeed.
It is. It was great to see him come out and have a natter with us. But, you know, you don't get it every day of the week. Normally he says he'll come out and he won't show up. So.
we're all waiting there all night. Yeah.
It was great, but Charlie's fucking hilarious.
What does Redmond do from here? He's gone in against Carcanyon, a guy who was one of the best in Bellator. Obviously fought for the featherweight title before. He's moved up to 55 now, and I thought he looked very good at 55. Yeah. And even Redmond said it before the fight. Redzer was saying to us, like, I think this is an advantage for him coming up to this new weight class for the first time. He's going to have an extra bit in his gas tank, you know. And look, to submit Paul Redmond is no easy feat.
Definitely,
my God,
man.
It really isn't. Like, definitely. I mean. I've watched that guy compete in Polaris events.
Black belt.
He's unbelievable. You know, look at the throw we landed on Carcanyon earlier on. Beautiful bit of technique.
That was brilliant. Was it a judo throw?
Yeah, but I guess I was surprised when he landed in side control, and Carcanyon managed to get up quite quickly. Like, I don't think Redmond's a hard... Like, I mean, I think it's a very difficult thing to get up from underneath Redmond. So that was puzzling to see. Of course... manager Paul Fogarty was over talking to us. We actually missed the end of that. Thanks very much, Paul.
Did Paul have a bad weight cut this week? Because he wasn't in the best of form at the media day either, I noticed.
I just don't think he likes it that much.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. We are going to find out what happened there, but I don't want to be...
Yeah, you know, just wondering, like, because I know Chris Bungard was, I think he said he'd food poisoning you know, this what week coming into the
Bungard,
fight.
Bungard v.
Primus was good, man. Very impressive.
Yeah, but Bungard v. Redmond in the future. Which,
yeah, why not?
I don't mind that fight.
Yeah, I like that fight.
I don't know who the opponent is or whatever, but I'm hearing that Queeley's already booked, could be potentially booked for that Bellator or London fight.
But
I don't think it's someone he's been matched with before, based on what I've heard. I could be wrong.
Well, there's, you know, I think that beef doesn't really go away either.
No.
Queeley and Bungard after the week that's just gone. Very sort of interesting comments from Chris Bungard.
I'd even like to see, like, I mean, if Kiefer's talking about 55, Sarin back, I'd love to see Kiefer and
Reza. Yeah, well, Kiefer, yeah, interesting. He said that he said he's definitely going and fighting at 155 now. And
he looked great. That's 160. Like, he was ripped, man. Yeah. Like, and that's with the week he had making that fucking weight. Like,
yeah, no, fair play to him. Yeah, definitely. But I think it'd be great now to see Kiefer, you know, have a home at 155 pounds and match up those
interject himself in those conversations.
Yeah,
exactly. I'd like to see Redmond v Kiefer. I don't think it'll ever happen, but I mean, if he's,
that'd be a great fight, wouldn't it?
If Kiefer's going towards like the Sarin backs of the world, I mean, Redmond's
right there.
Yeah, like, I mean, and for an Irish card, that would be fucking wild. Imagine, now, I think the lads get on very well.
They probably have that at the start of the night though.
Thing.
I'm going to be take the piss, obviously. No, do they get on well? Yeah, they probably do.
I think so. Like, I mean, I understand it's Team Rhino vs BG, you know.
PT stirring the pot here.
Yeah, listen, fucking leave me. I'd like to see them fight each other. They do for a living?
No, we have to mention that if we think it's a fight that would create interest, and fucking hell it would.
Yeah, I think it definitely would. What about Encam spinning kick on Liu Long? Jesus, that was hard. Like, we were sitting right beside Liu Long's family there, and
it was like literally went from screaming to dead silence.
Yeah, it was tough.
You know, it is when you see that, and I think we need to mention that this week as well. And we know these guys for years, and it's just sort of, it's tough to watch when their family are sitting cage side sometimes and so emotional, man.
I think that was one of those moments there with Encam, certainly, like, because Liu Long is a savage. He's a veteran of the sport in Europe. And he's had that moment like that before with Saldic, and you know, yeah. I thought Encam was absolutely going to have his handful on the night.
So did I.
I'm very impressed with his win. Yeah, don't get me wrong. That's the way this sport is, unfortunately. But shocking. Like, you know, wow.
Big time.
Beck Rawlings added a lot to the card this week as well, didn't she?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she was, people are genuinely interested in her over here. Like, I mean, I know her record, she had a losing record. She still does after her win the other night, but as Bellator have told us before, this is an entertainment thing, and she seems to fit right into that curve there, and she seems very happy with it.
People have always taken an interest in Beck.
Yeah.
Because of her story, obviously, the domestic abuse. You know, she was on The Ultimate Fighter. Mm. There was that Ultimate Fighter.
She's very unique looking. Like, she's got her own, own image. I spoke to her a lot this week how marketable she's made herself. She's made herself a real brand. So I completely agree with you there.
Yeah, and
but I didn't think she was going to have that much of an impact.
Yeah, you don't see it a lot of the times until they're actually in your face.
I think her videos did
person.
More than anyone's for us at MMA Fighting this weekend. Anyway, that's incredible.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the guys, you know, she's a good look. A lot of people fancy her.
Yeah.
it's true. Like, she's good. And I tell you what, she seems motivated now as well. And I think maybe she was missing that for a while, you know, in the UFC. It didn't go her way. You know, she went to bare knuckle boxing, and I think
I think with that, she was very like Artem with that bare knuckle situation, in that she showed her value through going there, because she made this a thing. I think her and Artem, people like that, were really the catalyst behind that becoming a big thing.
And I think it made her realize how much she actually loves mixed martial arts as well, doing the BKB, because she even said, "I missed so many elements of it," and that hunger's back. That's what it seems like. So, you know, big, huge win for her. You know, that's a massive win. She can start building up the division now.
Tough night at the office for Aaron Chalmers. What does this do to Chalmers? Like, we get on very well with Aaron. He's always had a great buzz with us off the podcast and stuff like that. You know, and he's kind of earned our respect as well. Let's be 100%. Honest.
I said it to you last week. I was saying how impressed I was with him during the week and how he conducts himself, how he handled himself.
But Clem was always going to fight him that way, and he's a purple belt, and that's a.
Yeah.
I can remember I spoke to Andy Ryan briefly about this fight on Saturday, and he was like, the thing about purple belts is they're always attacking. They're always trying to, like, you know, enforce their will, and I think I could see Clem trying to set things up. It just didn't happen for him. But, like, the problem with a fight like that is, my dad talked about it today. He's like, Jesus, there's too much of that holding each other down. Now, I know that's a very casual take on MMA, but that's the people that they're appealing to. By putting Chalmers on the card, by putting Leah in the main event. Like, my man knew who Leah was before the main event the other night. Like, she's like, I hope Leah wins.
Yeah, my mum was talking about her as well. Yeah, like, she goes, I watched that Leah one.
Yeah.
So, like, people are, that's a really good thing. And I think if you look at Leah's social media even this week, her Twitter's bumped up massively. So,
look, she had four fights before she's main evented the three arena.
She handled herself fantastically. Well done, Leah. I think the way she conducted herself all week as well.
Absolutely.
And it's not easy doing all that, those media duties when you're not used to it and trying to fit into your schedule, lose weight. Mental.
You can't predict how the fights are going to go, I guess. But, you know, tough night for Aaron. I don't know. Like, was the reason why we were all tuning into Aaron is because it was so taboo to have this guy coming into the sport. And now, as we said, he's nearly been accepted as an MMA fighter.
It's not Aaron Geordie Shore anymore. It's Aaron Charmers in the MMA community. And listen, what I think he should do is I think he should piss off to the States for a few months and just solely focus on grappling and wrestling, maybe ATT or somewhere like that.
But I mean, he's in with Alex Unland. Unland's a savage.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes I think going out of your comfort zone, away from your family, all of that sort of builds you as a fighter. You often see it, you know, like obviously, you know, with Paul Felder, he pisses off to Milwaukee, you know, away from his wife and kids. It's a very hard thing, but I think to be immersed and involved deeply in what you're doing. So,
just a final question for you on this Bellator Dublin. We can move on to you mentioned there, Paul Felder, and I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on Felder's situation. You've been very close with him. You've obviously interviewed Paul probably more than anyone in Europe. I think without a doubt, like, you know, but Bellator Dublin happens. It wasn't the most fan friendly fight card of all time. Like, people aren't raving about all these amazing fights that happened on the night. Certainly generated a lot of stories, no doubt about that, but after a night like that, with Cage Warriors and UFC coming back this year, and they're coming to Ireland, and there's no Bellator event between now and then.
Yeah.
I mean, the next one's...
It's a week after or something, isn't it?
It's sometime in the month after. But the fact that Cage Warriors will come here in May in Belfast, and then the UFC are going to come here in August, will they be happy that Bellator didn't really have the best night in the world? Will this allow them to look a lot better, say, when they come over?
I don't think they care. They just want to disrupt Bellator to do whatever they can. And I think we saw that last week, obviously, you know, a week beforehand, them announcing the UFC card conveniently at the time.
Yeah, do you think that is
it? Of course it was. Yeah. Of course it was, man. You know, definitely. They always do shit, you know. You see a week of a Bellator fight, normally a McGregor fight's announced or something on the day of it. There's always that little jibe going on between the two. But I don't think they're going to be concerned, because Bellator haven't done enough good job, in my opinion, in marketing themselves and the fighters here. I think the UFC can see that. I think we saw that last week, even the traction UFC Dublin was always going to create. And it sort of overlooked Bellator for two or three days till fight week rang in. No, I don't think the UFC are going to be concerned. And I think the UFC, as I said last week on the show, I think they're going to put on a big main event for us here as well. A decent, very high-level main event. And
what about Cage Warriors, though? That's been the main beef in this area, though. Like, Bellator essentially have come in. The European series have been very focused in the UK and Ireland, where Cage Warriors have been the dominant feeder for the UFC. You know, like, based on what Ian Dean's done before with these fights, and he is a fantastic, he's one of the best
brilliant
matchmakers in the world. I think they put on the most competitive fights in the world. I think they'll be happy in the sense that they know that their main card that night will likely be a bit better spectacle, say. A spectacle's hard, because Bellator is such a spectacle in itself, but I mean, in terms of the fights themselves, I think there will be a lot better action on that main card.
Yeah, because obviously, all the talk is going to be, is Reese McKee going to come in here and make a fucking statement for UFC Dublin? The UFC, I'm sure, are going to, you know, promote that a fair bit as well on that week, because it makes sense for them, obviously, being on UFC Fight Pass. So people are going to get really, really excited for this Cage Warriors card. And
we're dying for some new Irish blood in the UFC.
Of course we are. Like, imagine the amount of people that are going to be tuning into that, because the knock-on effect is Dublin. Mm. Like, even US audience are going to be tuning into that. They'll go, shit, you know, this Irish guy, Reese McKee, you know.
I'm already seeing his name has... like
skyrocketed.
Like when we're putting out things on MMAfighting.com, sometimes, you know, the Americans don't recognize these guys, but they all know the story now. This could be the next dude, and they're paying attention, and it's going to be a big spotlight of him on May 16th.
Like I did. I think I put a clip for, you know, Reese. I did a quick interview with Reese a few months ago on Off the Ball, and I put it out, and it was like a 2-minute clip just for social media, and I think it did like 75,000 views in the day. Like just crazy numbers. Reese's producing across everything he does, and I think that is obviously the knock-on effect You know, because I think the knock-on effect there is people are going, when's the next Conor McGregor going to come out of Ireland? Is this the guy to do it? And like, there's those similarities with that left peg hand they both have, the touch of death, I think we've talked about. So, yeah, man, it's like a semi-final. I think we talked about that. Yeah. The final is the UFC. So eyes aplenty are going to be on that.
Yeah, and I think it's important for Cage Warriors to have an Irish guy signed for that card, just to underline and highlight the...
I have a question for you then, right? How do you feel about Bellator and Cage Warriors? Who is the bigger brand in Europe? I feel Cage Warriors are.
For diehard fans, like, Cage Warriors is very hard to...
Do we maybe let them off a little bit in their thinking because they put on such, you know, good competitive fights in terms of maybe their marketing could be a little bit better, maybe their production could be a little bit better?
I think their marketing is brilliant because every single person that goes from the Cage Warriors to the UFC is a big deal. It becomes a thing. I love that all these guys are forged in fire.
Yeah.
Like, they're made go through hell and high water to get that belt around their waist. Like, I mean, you have gone through a battlefield if you're a Cage Warriors champion.
It's like one big giant.
Well, it's like, that's the thing,
contender,
right?
Contender series.
The narrative is naturally there all the time because it's a belt.
Yeah.
And once you have that belt, you're gone. Yeah. You're very close to being there. So, I mean, it's a built-in narrative.
It's like the old Ultimate Fighter.
It's sport. It's really sport. It's two very different things for me. But you can't argue with the James Gallagher when he's on a card.
That's true, yeah.
He's just fucking 9,000 tickets, man. Like, I mean, he's in every media thing. He'll do media for days. Mm. He'll generate so much interest. Like, I mean, it's just two very different things for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Feel like they both can exist independently. And I think the rising tide lifts all ships, as you've been saying about UFC coming back. Mm. You think it's going to be a good knockdown for Bellator, Cage Warriors, everyone. And maybe that is the impact, but I also love the little bit of development between the two.
Oh, yeah.
You
need that spice, man. It's good. Yeah. It keeps
Graham Boylan's fucking savage at Stirring the Pot, man.
He's deadly. He's probably the best promoter in the world at Stirring the Pot.
He's like a Bond villain. Him and Martin Lewandowski.
Bond villain.
Him and Lewandowski just look like Bond.
Yeah, Lewandowski does as well. Definitely. He's 100% a Bond villain. Jesus.
You were talking about, you know, seeing people you've interviewed a lot. Obviously, you know, Felder quite well compared to a lot of other fighters and stuff that we interview. It was a tough watch, that post fight interview after an amazing fight with Dan Hooker, a fight that absolutely was hanging in the balance, that could have gone either way. Really, really brilliant fight, I felt.
One of the fights of the year, hands down.
Amazing. And look, he is right on the door of beating Dan Hooker there, and it doesn't quite happen. It's tough to go over to Auckland and fight in a war like that, that's very close. You know, generally the hometown guy is going to get it. Not to say that it's a robbery in any way, shape or form. It's an incredibly close fight. But just tell me your feelings on Felder here. Do you think this is the last we've seen of him? The injury toll looks significant, very significant.
Yeah, I was speaking to people around him, people close to him. And I think he's fractured, you know, the orbital a couple of places. And I think fractured to his shin as well. That was on Instagram. Listen, man, it's tough. I think sometimes I put a tweet there earlier on. Sometimes we don't really fully appreciate, you know, what these guys go through. I think we see it obviously the whole time a lot, with guys here in the scene. And I think we just sometimes forget, you know, what they go through to give us fucking entertainment, leave their family. You know, I know it's all part of the process, and they go over there, you know, thousands of miles away, and you end up in a hospital for a week after.
It's tough,
man, you know. So, as for Paul, you know, I sort of said this to you last week, and I said on the show that I thought, you know, he might call it a day with a loss here. And maybe, you know, with Dublin, I think he got a little bit rejuvenated. I think obviously always been a dream of his to fight here or do a show here. So maybe he might stick around, have one more fight. You know, I think there was people even talking about running that back here in Dublin. You know, I wouldn't say no to that. You know, as a main event here. Because it was obviously a very close fight. I had 3-2 to Paul, but, you know, I could see it being scored either way. It was just absolute war. So, listen, yeah, I think Dana White from, you know, sort of seeing on social media and stuff, what he said afterwards, I think he's going to totally try and persuade.
What did he say?
He more or less said, you know, what a fight, all this fucking shit. So he's obviously realising, you know, Paul's a bloody exciting fighter. I think we've always known that. And I think maybe that backing from Dana might sort of, you know, put a bit of fire in Paul's belly to keep going a little bit longer. You know, he's not far off a feckin' title shot.
He's one of the best 55ers in the world. Without a doubt. Tell me your heart to heart, will he fight again in the UFC?
Yeah.
I think so too. It's like,
Yeah, he's just one, like, knowing Paul as well, he's one of those guys, man. He can't stay at the fucking gym. Like, he, like, I mean, he's an intense guy at the best of times. He's a grumpy shit at times as well, believe me, you.
And if Noel's saying that, I mean,
yeah,
it must be
that's
serious.
Coming from me. So, you know, but yeah, listen, I think you look back, take a bit of time out, go back, see his, you know, Christine and Aisling and talk with Duke. And, you know, I don't think Duke wants him to pack it in yet either. So it's up to Paul. And I think it should solely be up to Paul. I don't think anyone else, you know, I don't like this when fighters get sort of outside influence from, you know, promoters and things like that, because at the end of the day, that's a very, very dangerous thing. And, you know, I think when once the or word starts coming up from fighters, we often see this, Petey.
Yeah.
You know, oh, once it's even the sniff of it, you see a very different shift in their fighting ability.
Well, that's it. Absolutely. And also, Felder, we got to say, he has an option there in a different career. He's a fantastic broadcaster now with the UFC. So, I mean, we don't generally see guys that have a ready-made, there is what you can do for the rest of your life. And that's what makes it kind of, if he's talking retiring with me, I want him to retire. Like, I always say it. That's my thing.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you.
I just think he's in a great position to retire if he wants to. And, and no one is going like, Jesus, I don't want to see Felder fight again. No one's there.
Listen, I think Paul has a huge amount of fights and a lot more to offer in his career. But if he's thinking about that, and you know, the one thing I have to say is, like, the poor fucker, man, he's had a lot of bad injuries in fights. You know, he couldn't leave Arizona or Phoenix for a week after with the collapsed lung.
Imagine
the broken
how hard
ribs
that is with a kid, his daughter. Oh,
exactly,
God.
Man,
and his wife
and his fucking food and all that, you know, drink beer, and Paul loves a fucking beer, and
he's trying to get Action Bronson's job. She's not seeing him.
But like, that's three times now, the same in Brazil it happened. You know, when this shit accumulates, it's not good in your body, man. And again, he's, you know, he's in hospital there for a couple of nights in Auckland. It fucking sucks, man.
Absolutely. It wasn't the best night for Europe. Obviously, Alexei Chuk lost a decision as well. But we're kind of talking about injuries and stuff like that. Karolina Kovalkiewicz, I see a lot of complaints online about why this fight wasn't stopped. She has got an unruly amount of injuries coming out of this. And how many losses has she now had in a row?
Five, I think, in a row. I'll double check
Jesus
that. But
Christ.
Like, man, she was just getting, like, the fight could have been fucking stopped. Like, she was just getting pieced up. It was uncomfortable to watch. And I think, you know, she came out with
four
that.
Four losses on the road. Andrade, Watterson, Grasso, and Yan.
Four in a row, right? And, you know, again, you know, when you see a fighter that badly beaten up, you know, and four losses in a row, and there's definitely been a switch, you know, in her mindset since she lost that title fight.
This is a woman who beat Rose Namajunas.
Yeah. And it's just like she's totally, totally lost her confidence. She said in that piece she put up on Instagram as well that she cracked the bone in two places below her eye. You know, two black eyes. She's very badly beaten up, very upset, obviously, as she would be. I just go again, you know, here, you know, what do you do? Does she fight on? Does she try and make a run for it again? Does she want to go through all this again? I'm not sure, man. It was very unsettling to watch that fight.
This is what I wanted to say. Like, I mean, why is there such a stigma around throwing in the towel in MMA or a referee stopping a fight? Like, I mean, from what I hear, she was just holding a glove in front of her eye, basically, and trying to land one big
She was
A-maker.
Literally just getting pieced up.
Like, when is her corner going, like, this isn't, she's not going to win this fight. Like, look at the injuries she has there. Like, I mean, are you doing your job if you're going to continue to let her fight there? I don't know if you are.
Yeah, I don't know if you are either, because she, you know, I think it was pretty evident from the first round that it was going to continue on the way it was. And, you know, I think they maybe even should have stopped at the second round. It was just mental. And I do agree with you. You know,
we have a bloodlust in this sport sometimes. Like, you know, we want to see people fucking dying, basically, before we see the fight stop. And it kind of, like, with Fury and Wilder at the weekend, the stoppage there, it was great because I think the referee realized, round seven, like, this Wilder's not going to win this fight. Like, this is just going
to
be damaged.
Well, unfortunately, Petey, it's probably going to take, you know, us to see that, to realize it.
Yeah,
it's, you know, and coaches, that's the sad thing about this sport, that, you know, it's obviously
but
new,
even the
new
fan base
sport.
Oh, it's an early stoppage, it's an early stop, like, every time someone's freaking out about it.
No,
even,
you are right.
Even Franz Malambo and Ricky Bandeja there, you know, like, Franz
perfect stoppage,
cascading
wrong with
at
it.
The ground forward. Yeah. I don't want to see Franz,
neither do I,
taking shots he doesn't need to take. That's a young guy with a huge career in front of him who looked great.
Yeah.
I don't want to fucking
Franz looked brilliant in the early rounds.
First round was fucking amazing. His grappling's come on so much, and you know how great puncher he is, but
it's just a sad part of the sport. And it's like that with MMA. It's like the weight cutting thing as well. Like, You know, how much more can we sort of let this go?
What's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back here? Like, and we know what it is.
That's it.
It's fucking worrying when you.
It's the outcome that's going to be catastrophic.
For Hugh, yeah, massively bad for the sport when if something like that ever did happen. Mustoyev split with Brad Riddell. Brad Riddell continues his winning ways. Was back in the gym the next day at 5 a.m. training.
What a man.
They're badasses out there in city kickboxing. Togogov, he beat Aguilar. But unfortunately, Emil Meek now in a situation where he could be looking at his marching order, same as Carolina. Like three losses on the bounce. What do you think?
Yeah, like... Three losses in a row, you know, it is the magic number in the UFC if they're going to give you your P45 and your pink pay slip. And yeah, it could very well be the case for Emil.
Will his marketing help him at all? Because he's, do you not think so? No?
Unless they announce something in Scandinavia. But like in fairness to the UFC, I think in the last couple of years, we haven't seen as many guys get cut when they've lost three. They've let fighters maybe go four or five, but... Maybe, you know, Meek isn't a big enough name, in my opinion, to maybe keep him around or get that extra fight. So it is going to be interesting to see what they do with him. And listen, I did expect Jake Matthews to win. In fairness, you know, it's not an easy fight at all.
Is he going over there for that?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more travel if you're going from Vegas than there is from Australia.
Like,
you know?
Yeah, it's like fucking, I think, Jesus, what was the flight for even John Gooden? I think was putting it up the other night that 30 hours or something.
Yeah, probably. Like, yeah. I think it's a bit less from Vegas now, but still. So look, we'll get on to our second interview of the day. We spoke to Brian Moore, who was one of the most talked about fighters out of Ireland, even though he wasn't competing on the night. The
nicest guy in Irish mixed martial arts.
Well, we've got a lot of nice ones. Brian's certainly up there at the top.
Look at him fucking too scared to say anything. He doesn't want to piss anyone off.
Scared to say that other fighters are nice? Oh, you rapscallion, McGrath.
I'll piss them all off. You're all wankers.
Well, there you go.
Brian Moore. I'm only messing.
Well, here's Brian Moore anyway. Of course, we wanted to get his reaction to this Ricky Bandeas talk, this Patchy Mix situation. I think Bandeas is the way to go. I think Moore feels that way as well.
Hands down.
It's the way to do it. Let's have a listen to what Brian has to say, and we'll be back in about 10 minutes. And you let me know what you think, because I certainly fucking want to see this fight. Brian Moore was not competing at Bellator Dublin over the weekend, but he came away as one of the most talked about fighters from the Irish charges anyway, with... a lot of people talking about fights with Ricky Bandeas and, of course, Patchy Mix, who got involved on the internet as well. We spoke to you briefly on the night, Brian. How was it to be there and not being able to compete? I'd say that's really tough for you because I know how much it means for you to compete at the Three Arena.
Yeah, look at it. I headlined it before, and it's a fortress, that place, and to not compete in Ireland when the show was there is heartbreaking. But at the same time, you know, it was... I feel really motivated right now, and that show made me twice as motivated. So, you know, it was I accepted that I wasn't going to be fighting on a Dublin card quite a while ago. So it was good to be there, soak up the atmosphere, and, you know, and look forward to the next one for myself. You know what I mean? So I won't have long to wait before I'm back in there. And, you know, the big show will be coming back to Dublin later in the year, and I'll be for sure on that.
You know, yeah, I was going to ask you, how are your hands? How is your health? You know, even when this card came out, I saw so many fans kind of fantasy matchmaking with you. Unfortunately, it couldn't come together. But I mean, how are you? How is the health? Are you 100% ready to go now?
Yeah, I'm literally 100%. I rushed the last time, Petey, because, you know, the way my fight went against Lahat, how I found that fight, how easy I was dominating. And then when I broke my hands, and then I felt like I had to get back in there, and I completely rushed it, which made me go into my last fight with two fractures still.
Wow.
And, you know, we only kind of found out. I knew there was something wrong with both hands. But it wasn't until I broke it again in training that when the surgeon opened it back up, he said, "You've had this fracture for a year. It's just a plate that broke." So, jeez. You know, it was I rushed it, so I couldn't rush it this time. You know what I mean? But thankfully, they feel fantastic. Mobility's back in them. You know what I mean? And training is going great. You know, I'm so happy where I am right now. And, you know, after last Saturday night, there's a lot of options out there right now for me, so I'm happy.
yes, there certainly is. Let's talk about that now. Franz and Ricky, for me, had the best fight of the night. It was a brilliant first round from Franz and a great second round, of course, from Ricky. You know, he comes backstage afterwards. This is the second time he stopped, you know, an SBG fighter. You obviously had that highlight reel KO over James Gallagher. Gallagher's sole loss. And now this one, a very competitive fight, as we already said. But when he's backstage, of course, the media, the narrative they can't really let slip is the fact that, you know, Bandejas versus SBG. We threw out your name towards him because I know this is not the first time you and Ricky have kind of been in the same conversation together. Now, he didn't say your name, but he nodded his head and he said, I want another SBG guy. You, shortly after, get on Twitter. Everyone, your tweet goes wild with everybody getting behind it. They want to see you versus Bandejas. And then Patrick Mix gets himself in the mix, shall we say. All of these huge options, I feel like both Bandejas and Patrick Mix are two of the most well-known fighters, highly skilled fighters in that division. How do you feel about it? Like, I mean, are these the kind of names you're looking for, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I didn't drop down to bantamweight. You know, I've been fighting these killers at 145, you know what I mean, in Bellator. I didn't drop down to bantamweight to, you know what I mean, to just to make up numbers. I'm here to be the champion. You're only going to get that by beating these caliber guys. And, you know, the fight I really want is, you know, I think Mix is a great fighter and I'd like to put myself in against him, but I really want that Ricky Bandejas fight. Mm. Both of us have been building this fight for quite a while. Both of us have agreed to it. All we need to do is be sent contracts right now. You know what I mean? Now the narrative is, you know, the SBG hunter, etc. Well, you know, I'm the most experienced SBG guy there is. You know what I mean? You know, besides that 2-year hiatus in the sport, I've been there in SBG for 9 years now. Yeah. You know what I mean? So if you're going to bring SBG's name into it, you got to bring my name into it. And I'm a different kettle of fish. Like, we've seen what Franz was able to do, you know, and he done really good. But, you know, Ricky used his experience to overcome that. You know what I mean? And, you know, he's going to be fighting someone that's been around and been in there in wars. You know what I mean? He'll need a shotgun to get me out of there. It's simple as that. So I can't wait to get in. And I'm sure we're going to fight. You know, Patchy Mix, that happens too. I'm happy. I've invited both of them to Dublin. They're more than welcome.
Does it have to happen in Dublin for you? Or would you be happy to fight, say, the likes of Bandejas in the US?
Oh, yeah. I'd love a US fight again. You know what I mean? Dublin is great because, you know, it's 2 hours down the road for me, but it's also, you know, it's an iconic place for mixed martial arts right now. But Bellator is a US promotion, so I'd like to be, you know, spreading myself over both regions, to be honest, you know what I mean? Building a name, you know, even more in across Europe, and then, you know, showing the US fans what I can do as well. And a lot of them are familiar with my name already, but not in bantamweight, not at 135, where I will be the champion. So, you know, the sooner the better, whether it's in the States, whether it's in the UK, whether it's in Ireland, I don't mind. But me and Ricky, it's inevitable. You tell me a matchup that makes more sense right now.
No, I love it. I love the whole narrative. And I think it's a very valuable matchup for both of you. Of course, Ricky can continue this narrative with the SBG Hunter situation or the, you know, he's going in and taking out guys from that gym. Whereas it becomes a huge scalp for you to stop this, right? If you're the guy who ends that narrative, you're the guy, oh, I'm going to put a line through this. I think that adds a lot of fan interest. And of course, that's very important today. But then you just think about the matchup, right? Like, it's a different matchup. It's a very different matchup. Gallagher v. Bandejas and Malambo v. Bandejas, and then you. Like, what way do you see that?
You know, like, I looked at his performance. Now, Ricky's an honest bloke. You have to give him that. Like, anything that comes out of his mouth is pretty much a truth. You got to take that. He said he was sick for that fight, and I believe him, you know what I mean? And for him to be able to go through that adversity and still pick up a win against, you seen how Franz was like, he was very good. So against a very, very good opponent, Franz, you got to take your hat off to Ricky. But I'm a different breed, you know what I mean, especially at 135, you know what I mean. One thing that really stood out to me against Bandejas is how emotionally invested he got in the stand-up. He wasn't willing to go for a takedown on Franz, even though he was losing that fight. He just found a way to win. But, you know, if he doesn't shoot on me, he's going to be in a hell of a lot of trouble. If he does shoot on me, he's still going to be in trouble. It's a fight where stylistically it makes sense. It's a fight where the UFC are coming back to Ireland. They're wanting to put on big shows, I'm sure, or big fights, Bellator, I'm sure. This is a big fight. This has title implications. This has now history in it. You know what I mean? We both are hungry guys. We don't really run our mouths a whole lot. We just love a good scrap. And the fans will fucking love this one. They will love this one. You know what I mean? And I owe it to the Irish fans now. I do not want to miss hometown fights. And the people in the arena were asking me all night, can't wait to see you back in there.
When you came down to speak to us very briefly, there was so many people there looking for pictures and stuff like that. People very interesting. I completely agree with that. And the other thing, Brian, is like, you've gone in on short notice against Vichel, McKee, these guys who are like top of the food chain at 145. I'd love to see you with a full camp going in against one of the guys top of the food chain at 135, you know?
Petey, the only time I've ever been given a full camp in Bellator against a good guy was against Noad Lahat. I took
that
a fight
was an amazing performance.
In a couple of weeks. I took a fight against AJ McKee on a couple of weeks when I should never have been fighting in that fight. We went through that before. The only camp I was ever fully given was against Noad Lahat, and that was the easiest 5 minutes of my life until I broke my hands 7 times, and I still continued. You know, they talk about the Anthony Pettis being a fucking, you know, he continued on for a round with a broken hand. I continued on for 12 minutes with 7 breaks in my hands, you know what I mean?
Crazy.
So, like, give me a full camp, you know what I mean? And Jesus, what? I'll get a little bit of luck someday.
You know what I mean?
Where I don't be breaking things in bits. And, you know, look, at 135, I don't need luck. All I need is a full camp, and I'm putting all these guys away. And there's so many options right there. You know, Patchy Mix is a great fight. Bandeas is a great fight. And there's more there. There's more guys out there. I can't wait to get at. And look, I've been a bit more vocal. I wanted Joe Warren. That ain't happening. He's not coming anywhere near me. But I've asked for Bandeas, and he's a gritty guy. He'll put a pen to paper the same way I will. So all they need to do is send out that paper to us.
Well, Brian, I gotta say, you have sold it to me, my friend. I am all on board for that fight. And look, the one thing I criticize Bellator about is not being able to create these narratives, these storylines that get fans involved, that make the fans have skin in the game. And I think that would rally the whole Irish support behind you. And of course, look. SBG is a polarizing brand. There will be Americans backing Bandeas and hoping he goes in and continues his run. I think they'd be crazy not to make it, and I really hope it happens, Brian.
Yeah, look, I think it's inevitable. You know what I mean? I've tried to make it happen on my end. Ricky's all game like he always is. So look at whether it's Mike Hogan, you know what I mean, Scott, whichever one he is, want to send me out those contracts, just get him out and let's get this thing going. You know what I mean? And look, I'd like to get one in there before, and this, you know, Dublin is almost towards the end of the year. So whether I go to the States to fight Ricky, whether, you know what I mean, whether it happens in October, I don't care. You know what I mean? Well, let's just go. I'm ready to go right now.
Brian, absolute pleasure to speak to you. You're a gentleman. One of our favorite guests we have had on the podcast over the years. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And I look forward to hopefully watching this fight in person, because I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, me too. Me too, man.
All the best, sir. Goodbye.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Great to speak to Brian Moore.
Brian, I hate you. You're a horrible person.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a dick.
But he messes.
He's a lovely, lovely lad. He was beaming there on Saturday as well.
He was in serious form.
Yeah, he was in great form.
He's done a serious job with that new gym as well. More fitness and built his gaff from feckin' scratch.
Gaff looks lovely.
Unbelievable.
Actually,
yeah. I asked him, would he bill me one or would he let me fucking lodge out the back?
He said he'd do a studio for us out the
Did
back.
He?
Yeah.
Fucking savage. That would be awesome.
Half the price of rent in Dublin, well, anyway.
There you go, Brian. I'm going to hold you to that one. So you'll be down next week, yeah, with the bricks and mortar.
Yeah, he was talking about his hands there. It was pretty badass looking at those scars.
Scar, man, yeah. You know,
it looks fucking cool, I think.
Yeah, it does look cool. It does look badass. But, you know, that's been a real unfortunate thing for Brian, those handbrakes, you know. And I think we saw it against San Jose's Israeli when he
was talking about
the hand.
7 breaks he had in his hand.
Yeah, yeah,
and he's
yeah.
like, I watch people talking about Anthony Pettis. Oh, look how he fought for one round with broken hands. He was like, I fought
the whole
12
time,
minutes
yeah.
with there. 7 breaks in yeah. 2 hands. Yeah. I mean,
it was unbelievable to put in the performance he did there in that fight. Was incredible, and he looked so good until
he always looks so good.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Well, I just need to be a bit more professional. Jesus.
But his boxing is savage, man. The guy's unbelievable. We've often said that, you know, Brian looks like one of the best guys.
Like,
with
he definitely
hands.
Looks like one of the best. Looks well, like one. Just, oh, sorry. Fighting. Sorry.
One of the best guys.
Yeah, he's good at fighting.
In terms of his boxing skills.
Yeah.
In the country, and I think, you know, as I said earlier on, that fight against Bandejas is a fucking no brainer. So Bellator won't do it.
they better do it.
They have to do that, man. They have to do it. And I think Ricky as well. Give him a bit of credit, like, as well, man. He had
a hellish weight cut. Like, remember you saying that? He's
he flew all week.
Fuck. And, I was wondering why he was so quiet at that media day. I was like, Jesus Christ, trying to get blood from a stone here.
Wasn't it? It was like Stipe Miocic interview. Just trying to pull teeth.
Stipe, a legendary interview, as we always.
Stipe, how are you getting on? How's form? You know, a big fight coming up. You're excited. Yeah, man, good.
Awesome. Stipe. Right, let's have a look at this Norfolk card. There's quite a lot of Europeans in action, actually.
But I love you, Stipe. I know you don't listen to the show, or he probably does, actually. Everyone listens to the show.
Come on, let me
so,
read this.
fucking, I don't want to offend you.
I'm very sorry. Joey B going for that world title again against Davison Figueiredo. That's a great fight, man. And I'm kind of favoring Davison, but wouldn't it be a great story if Joey B
it would. I'm kind of sick of him getting title shots, though. Is that an unfair thing to say?
I see a lot of people saying that as well. But I feel like he's criminally underrated. Like, just because he hasn't been the champion for that long. I mean, he won that first title fight right back in
there. Is there any flyweights left in the UFC to defend after this?
I don't know.
Who knows what's going on with that division.
But I think that's a great fight.
It is. Really on paper, fight. It's an excellent fight, yeah. But
and hopefully it will come up trumps because, you know, if it doesn't, if it goes five, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, the flyweights. Yeah,
they suck. Flyweights are some of the best bloody fighters in the world, man. And yeah, I just think, you know, you have that problem though, and you know, going forward, like, what the fuck? Dana hasn't come out and said anything. Like, it's been, oh, yeah. I mean, we don't fucking know.
Nah, I think it's a thing. Like, you know, they've signed flyweight since. They've signed Askar Askar.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah.
It's been more positive signs, I'd say, anyway. Yeah. Zara Fearn in the co-main event against Felicia Spencer. She obviously, I think it was her debut against Megan Anderson when it was in Melbourne last year. She lost via submission. Oyan Cutie Laba taking on Magomed Ankalev. So that's all European action there on the main card as well. Let's have a look. There is fucking more. Marcin Toibura v. Sergei Spivak. That's Sergei Spivak. I was actually very impressed with him. I saw him in Melbourne as well. I believe it was Melbourne, or was it Abu Dhabi?
Ooh. One or the other.
Oh, it was Melbourne. Toi Tuivasa, he submitted him. That was really good win. Yeah, that's a good fight between him and Toibura. Good chance for Spivak to make a big jump up there in the division. How about the return of Tom Breeze? That's very exciting.
Yeah, listen, Tom is a thoroughly talented guy. Unbelievable fighter. You know, we've seen him over the years, what he's been able to do. It's about getting a bit of consistency going for Tom now and a good solid run of fights within a year. A devastating performer.
He's unbelievable.
Absolutely devastating on the ground and both obviously with his feet. We saw that against obviously Kyle Pender. We were chatting about that earlier on.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Brendan Allen's a tough guy. You know, obviously, I think he trains with Duke. You mentioned earlier, but Breeze. I mean, I guess I'm feeling positive about this because I'm looking at the form of Renegade at the moment and him being head coach there and like guys like Joy.
I wonder if that's a good thing though.
Yeah, guys like Joy and Leon coming on the show and singing Tom's praises. Mm. What do you mean in terms of like?
In terms of him being a coach, you know, a head coach of himself almost. You know, I don't know.
But I think that gym, I think the way they work it is like the main fighters, like Leon will take the wrestling class, Tom will do the boxing class. I feel like they kind of just spread it out among themselves. But I think Tom is definitely very, very at the forefront of that. But yeah, that's a good point. I guess in a perfect world, they would be completely dedicated to just their own fight career. Looking forward to seeing him in there.
Yeah,
as
definitely.
You said, at his best, he's one of the best. Mm-hmm. And Ismail Nurdiev, the Austrian wonder boy, who has been devastating at his best in the UFC, takes on Sean Brady, a man who's been on the bash before.
Yeah, Ireland's own. Ireland's Sean own. Brady. Look,
it's an all-European clash to open it
Irish
up as well.
Irish pride.
That's a tough fight for Sean Brady, though.
Yeah, it is. It really is a tough fight. But I think we have to look at Sean's last fight, and I think we had him on before Court McGee. And he nearly finished Court in the first round. Very unlucky not to finish him.
That's a great win on a day.
It is a big win. It
come on, Ireland.
It proves that he can just go in there and mix with, you know, some of the top guys in there. And listen, Sean's only a young lad, 10-0, I believe he is. And yeah, that's a big, big test against the Austrian Wonderboy. I love watching that guy fight.
Yeah, looking forward to that on the weekend. Not too much of a packed schedule this weekend, which is always good to see. We're going to move on with our third interview of the day. We spoke to Cal Eleanor. It's all gone a bit sour between him and James Gallagher. My God, it is a completely different atmosphere between these two guys than it was the first time they were matched to fight. Obviously, those two have fallen out. Cal Eleanor is not too convinced by Gallagher's pullout here. He explains why. And I feel like this is building and building towards a big, big European fight in London in May. And I'm looking forward to seeing it, to be honest. I can't wait for it to play out now.
Definitely.
So look, we'll go and talk to Cal. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Always a pleasure to speak to the Sunderland Strangler. Finally, I have the opportunity to speak to Cal Eleanor, a man who was the talk of the town in Dublin this weekend, even though, of course, his main event with James Gallagher did not go down. This fight has been rebooked for Bellator Dublin in a couple of months' time, and the appetite has never been stronger for it. Cal, I got to ask you, do you feel that? Do you feel this growing sense of anticipation and expectation for this fight because it's been put off the two times so far?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's got loads more interest now, you know what I mean? People just want to want to see it get done, and the longer it's taken to actually happen, it's the more it's kind of winding James up and myself, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, I think he's probably the same as me, and I'm sick of seeing him, and I haven't had prepared for him, and he's probably the same with me, so just, that's why it's a bit different now, you know what I mean? I just want to hurry up and fight him. I'm sick of having to see him or talk about him, or, you know what I mean? I just want to fight now.
Yes, well, I appreciate you doing this, and I know it must be, because I saw the amount of media rounds you were already doing in Dublin, so I'm sorry for having to put you through it again.
No.
But this has become personal. We had James on the show last week, and he was like, whatever way you reacted to him withdrawing from this fight, he has now believes it's a personal vendetta between you two guys. Can you comment on that more? Does it feel like there is more skin in the game for this, for you now going into this fight, and how has the dynamic changed between you two guys?
Yeah, definitely. I just feel like the way he went on when the fight got rematched and put back on, you know, I thought he went on like a bit of a tool there, and then to then see all that stuff at the press conference about I showed up and this, I never pull out, I'm strongest mindset in the game, this, that and the other, and then to pull out 2 weeks or whatever it was from the fight and see it was a bad back, but then see on your podcast that it was he couldn't even lift his gym bag up, but then the day after the day after he pulled out, there's a photo of him on his Instagram with his gym bag on his shoulder. So I thought that was a bit ridiculous, and then to see him like parading about Bellator Dublin like a peacock on Saturday night, jumping all over when this fight's on, when he was supposed to be fighting anyway, and then he's pulled out with an injury, and then what was also meant to be happening between the Charlie Ward fight and the main event, who was supposed to get in the cage, and I thought like for someone who always goes on about his fans and stuff like that, I thought it was a bit shitty how he didn't get in there, you know, supposed to do a little interview there. Obviously, he was main event there, and he didn't. He chose not to do that, and he left, you know. So I thought that was a bit shit, like. But aside from that, I just want to even fight him now, mate. It's just one of them things, you know what I mean? When you thought about someone for that long, I just want to put the nail in the coffin, you know what I mean?
From what you're saying there, you do stick by that. You do feel as though he made an excuse here to not fight you in Dublin last weekend.
Well, you know it is, mate. If he's genuinely injured, it is what it is. But to see him, I didn't think he looked injured. And when we did the face off, he didn't stop him putting his hands up like the day after he pulled out. As I say, he's doing selfie videos in his car, and you know what I mean. He looked fine, and then to see him jumping about when Kiefer Crosby was fighting on Saturday night, like that looked like a man who could fight me. You know what I mean? So. I mean, if you can jump about like an idiot, you can certainly have a fight. You know what I mean? So it looks like he's blagging it. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. And what was going on in the fight night? Because obviously I'm moving between the back area into the fights. I actually don't get to see an awful lot of fights on fight night. But from the guys who were sitting at the very top of press row, they said you guys were exchanging looks. James was rubbing his hands together when he was looking over at you. You were both very intense. I mean, what was going on, and how long did this go on for between you guys?
Well, at first I didn't see him when he walked in. And I looked up and he was like staring at us, like pulling his frown. So I was laughing at him. Like, I laugh at him every time, you know. I seen him and I thought it was funny, you know. I'm excited for the fight, like regardless whatever he says in the build up. Like, I genuinely don't care because we're gonna fight anyway. So it's funny, and him acting like this just makes it even more satisfying that I'm gonna get a punch in the head. So this is all good for me. And then it was when he left. It was when he was on the way out. Like, I got the. I don't know if it was the, I don't know what she is, Channel 5 or whatever, but she came over to me and she said, oh, when this fight finishes, we're going to get you and James. Like, they'd already kind of told us the plan anyway, but then she came over and she was like, when this fight's finished, we're going to get you. You're going to go in the cage, do the talk and whatever. And then that's when James was walking out, rubbing his hands, looking at us. So I was just clapping at him. I was just saying, like, we'll see, you know what I mean? Let's do it, you know what I mean? I shouted some other stuff at him. I can't remember what I said, but it was funny. And then he left, and that was it. Pretty much it, you know what I mean? So
yeah, it's crazy to me, Cal, and I've said this to you off the record a few times. From the first time this fight was booked to now, you've become a huge name, and the appetite for you has grown significantly. I mean, it's crazy to think about it, really, but the fact that this fight has been put off twice has actually made it one of the more interesting fights in European MMA, it seems, because all the fans are really up for this one. And I feel like more and more people are getting behind you, more and more people are getting behind James. It feels like a real rivalry that people are getting behind. Is that crazy for you to see? And this growing popularity, is it interesting you to have to be dealing with that, like being recognised in Dublin rather than, you know, Sunderland where you're from and stuff?
Nah, you know, it is. It's funny as it sounds, mate. This is something that I've thought for a long time would happen. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like people can relate to me, you know, kind of the same kind of upbringing as a lot of people, you know, especially people like from Dublin, Sutherland, you know, it's a kind of same like upbringings and stuff, you know, so I feel like people can relate to us. So I feel like that's why kind of people might be kind of getting behind us, you know, because I'm just a normal lad, you know. I don't pretend to have things that I don't, or pretend to be bigger than what I am. I just, you know what I am, whatever it is, you can just see the kind of person I am. And I feel like that's all it is. I feel like I'm maybe relatable. So I feel like that's why people's maybe getting behind us a bit. But it is, it's cool, you know what I mean? I'm enjoying every minute of it, and I'm excited for what will come after this as well. You know, I've already been told that regardless of what happens after James, I'll be fighting in America. So amazing. I'm looking forward to see what happens there.
Do you, do you have many Irish people walking up to you and telling you they want to see you beat James? Because he is a very polarizing figure, right?
100%. I get messages all the time. I get messages from Irish people all the time, funnily enough. And when I was in Dublin, I had people coming up to me saying, oh, strangle James. I hope you strangle James and stuff like that. And then I had to, it's funny though, because in the same sense, I have a few Irish people coming up to me saying that, and people from wherever seeing it. And then I had a couple of, the first time this has actually happened, this, I had a couple of English guys when I was at Beltor Cumbers and asked us for a photo, and then said, oh, look, we're like you in that, but we're rooting for James. And I was like, you know what it is, like, I appreciate your honesty, man, that's cool, you know what I mean? That whether you want me to lose or you want me to win, I'm just happy that people are interested in the fight, you know what I mean? It's promoting my name and his name, and it's going to be big, you know what I mean? Especially now that it's third time round and it's in England now, you know what I mean? I feel like I'll be able to bring thousands of people down, and it's going to be a special occasion.
Absolutely, Callan. Do you feel as though that event missed your fight an awful lot? Because that's what a lot of people feel like. I mean, the main card maybe wasn't the most exciting in the world the last three fights, and I feel as though a fight that so many people are interested in, you and James, would have been huge there. Did you kind of get that sense as you were sitting cage side?
To be truthfully honest, mate, I did. I really did. It was a good card, really good card. Like I'm not the Martin guy or whatever, you know. I don't put the shows together. I thought it went well. I thought it went well for sure. But I thought there was a good mix of fights. But some of the fights, some of my favorite fights of the night were some of the earlier ones. And I felt like it kind of maybe had like a bit of an impact on the card that it went that way. But I definitely feel like the show missed out on a treat there, because regardless of whatever way the fight went, I feel like that fight with me and James would have blew the roof off. So, but I'm glad it's back, and this time it's in England. So we'll get to have that there. So I'm buzzing for it. Like,
Cal, thank you so much, man. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, and I've loved watching this rise in popularity that you've had. And this fight is going to be huge when it eventually happens, my friend.
Cheers, mate. It's nice to speak to you too, PT, mate. Thank you.
All the best. I'll see you in England, sir.
Cheers, man. Thank you, mate. See you soon, mate. Bye.
It's getting very exciting ahead of the third scheduled meeting. Let's hopefully this
third
fingers,
time is a charm.
Fingers and toes crossed that it happens this time.
Third time
it's
is
a way
charm.
Bigger fight than the first time it was made, man. Huge.
Yeah, and it's whet our appetite, as we said earlier on.
Yeah,
people just want to see it more now, and the shit talk's building even more.
My God.
Which is great. I'm thoroughly excited for that fight card in itself.
Yeah.
James Haskell as well.
Yeah. Mm. What did he do before this again? Oh, he's a reality TV show guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, and a rugby player.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, rugby. Heard it all. Did you watch Tyson Fury, man? I was so caught up in this fight. I mean, I was eating Disciples every day in the lead up to it. I love tuning into them boys for big boxing fights, man. They're just good fun. And it's like, they can translate the message of the fight very well to a guy like me who isn't tuning in every week to boxing. Yeah. And Gareth Day, our great friend Gareth Day Davies, doing a great job over there as well.
Always one of the best at getting those big fights. And he gets everyone, doesn't he?
He does, man.
He gets everyone.
And he looks fucking good doing it.
He looks good. And I'll tell you what, man, when I was in Gareth with Khabib fight the last time, the amount of people that come up to him in Vegas.
Well, he's like a brand. Like, he's like, you know, he's cut out a place in this sport for himself that no one can ever take away from. You know what I mean? He's like
literally Americans all over him.
Yeah. Well, he's great crack. He's fucking unbelievable crack.
He is, man. Gareth, he spices.
He gets a
up
hard there. Time. He gets a hard time, man. When he is at a fight week, me and you are fucking buzzing.
Yeah. We love it. It's great crack. Like, you hang around, going a few drinks, go to Quintet, stuff like that.
Tequila.
tequila and an olive. Oh, Niall, I love you so much.
He goes to me. He was sick, obviously, last year. He had the heart issue. And he goes to me, let's get a tequila, but we'll only sip it this time. Yeah. He's a fucking legend.
I love the guy. He's an absolute G.
But did you watch Fury? It was an unbelievable fight. What a performance.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, my God. I fell asleep 5 seconds before. Yeah, I was buzzing all week. Fucking Bellator stole all my lifeblood. Yeah. And I fell asleep.
Man, it is. It's tough, though. Like we were in the arena from 4 o'clock.
I felt like I was there for weeks, man.
And we didn't get out until what, 12:30, 12:45. And you go, I went straight over to Gibson to tune into UFC Auckland. So like it's 4 o'clock by the time I'm even getting in my fucking door. I didn't get to bed, sleep till 5 o'clock. I was just bollocks. I fell asleep.
Oh, I had such a great sleep. And then I went and got inebriated the next day. But Casey, I want to say a big thanks to Casey Lloyden for fucking bailing me out, because I got home and obviously you're doing everything yourself, and it goes without saying that I'm not the most video savvy guy. I'm not the best at editing and stuff like that.
In fairness to you, you've done a great job. You've really improved.
I know,
in a short space of time.
But luckily, I was going to come back, and I had still like maybe 5 things to upload, and I was like, this is going to take fucking 2 hours, and I'm not very good at it, as I said. And Casey's like, just send all over the raw footage and go to bed. And I was like, I'm going to watch this fight. I was like, yeah, I'll definitely go to bed. I'm going to watch this fight though. Knocked out. So thanks, Casey. You're a legend, man. I love you. What about Anthony giving me that big crystal? Anthony, a man who has been in Lahore's camp before. I think he was working very closely with King Mo.
That was cool. I was like, what the fuck?
Just landed on the yoke. It was the best thing ever, man.
I was just like, holy shit.
Presented a crystal, huh? Unbelievable. Yeah. A salt lamp crystal is what it is. Apparently, Pendred was telling me it's to up the old libido for the riding. Like,
oh, is that what it is?
He says you plug that in and stick an old lamp on, and it increases the libido for people, I guess.
Jose Wong's definitely needs one.
Oh, fucking the blow. Two quick jabs in this episode so far.
I'm a quick-witted young lad.
And it's not. This beef is going nowhere. But that was amazing. And look, more than ever, I felt it doesn't happen an awful lot that we for me anyway, with people coming up to you and saying, oh, listen to the podcast. It was a lot the other night. Everyone asking to see my socks. I debuted my Elaine and Reggie socks as well. Had a kid run up to me, about 10-year-old, and he goes, show us your socks, mister. I showed him. But
and that's great to hear from people who listen to the show and appreciate our work. It's very humbling, in my opinion. It's great.
Yeah, we never thought it was going to take off to this extent. It's fucking mental, to be honest. It blew any kind of aspirations we had in terms of viewing and stuff out of the water in our first year, and we've kept going strong, so we really appreciate all these.
Definitely, here.
It's legends. A new experience for us too, so it's been a wild ride.
Yeah. Slick motherfuckers listen to the show.
Yeah, and no fucking casuals, more importantly. I hate those fucking reptilian pricks. But keep rating, keep reviewing, share that motherfucker out. Be part of the movement. Be part of this audio broccoli. Get one of your 5 a day every Tuesday morning, baby. Audio broccoli. Do you like
hashtag
that? Audio broccoli.
Audio broccoli. And Jose Young's a bitch.
Oh! You just dropped one in. That's three. I'm going to have to do this A-side with him now on Wednesday. He's going to be
fired up. Did you not notice on as well? They played Return of the Mac the other night.
That was for you? That's going to be your entrance music.
Of course it is. Oh, definitely. 100%.
Have you talked to UFC about this fight yet? Be honest.
Yeah, I've been in talks. So just I can't agree on a fee at the moment. You know,
fair enough. You got to get paid for a fight like that. It's a big one.
It's a big one.
It's for all the marbles and podcasting.
The marbles, crystals for not.
nothing wrong with crystals, no.
But no, I haven't been able to get over the line yet, and I obviously need a catch weight as well. So
yeah. What type of catch weight are we looking at for this one?
299.
Well, look, we're absolutely fucking bollocks, lads. Yeah, I'm so tired. I've obviously not done myself any favours with yesterday's
performance. Look how hardcore we are.
We're still watching fights.
TV on with fights. They're from about 2 months ago.
Who cares? You're going to hook it up to my veins. But look, thanks very much. Thanks very much to the great Hoyce Gracie, to the great Brian Moore, and to the great Cal Eleanor. Plenty of fun storylines developing here, and we'll be back next week to talk even more of them. Don't be a fucking casual. Tell your mates not to be casual.
Peace.
There's nothing casual about us.
Peace.
Mwah.